listing data there, that'd be great, thank you. Matthew Taylor. Strathallan Farms. Welcome.
Hi.
So you're very happy now to speak to your submission and to highlight what you think the key points are for us.
Thank you. We're farming at Tisbury, and we have been for three generations, and the fourth one will be coming along. So it's basically what it comes down to for me is just the viability of securing the farming lifestyle for future generations. So I don't think there'd be any dispute that there is a problem with the water and the way things have been. Hopefully it's starting to stabilise, but basically it's about awareness. So there's a couple of things in the submissions that I sort of thought were possibly are going to be a bit of a problem, and I guess you guys have heard this a lot, but one is the 50 hectare rule. It should be percentage basis, but it also should be a bit of thought should be put into where the areas are. Some places are just simply not suitable for wintering on, and other places perhaps are. And I think that, you know, whilst there's been a lot of research done on the areas, it probably needs to be highlighted as to how that works as well. The soil saturation levels, there's been a lot of talk about that, and there's been a lot of talk about the vegetated strip. Earlier in the winter this year, you could have grazed right down the edge with no worry at all of anything going into the waterways. But as time changed and we got the first heavy showers of rain, I guess the whole situation changed. So basically, a lot of that's common sense, and I'm not quite sure how you would write a rule book with common sense in it. But basically, I think the level of awareness has been lifted. People will graze from the back to the front rather than start at the waterway and work away. And perhaps there just needs to be a little bit more thought put into that around the rollings. The grandfather clause, I'm not sure how that will work or how it will play. My understanding at the moment is that if you grew over 50 hectares of crop last year on a block, you could do it again this year, this winter coming, by the time the submissions were heard. I think one block in particular that we have that we graze on, I've kind of known about this grandfather clause for a while, and we've been making decisions based more off this rolling than perhaps what a sensible crop rotation would be, which bothers me a wee bit, but if you wanted to be in the gun for this, that's perhaps what you needed to do. So that takes common sense out of the equation again, doesn't it, to a certain extent. Basically, that my concerns in a nutshell would be the 50 hectare rule, the soil saturation levels, and the and that grandfather clause would be, in a nutshell, would be my concerns, and just the future sustainability of farming for future generations to come. It's all dollar driven. So, you know, if it's we see a lot of corporate farms come in, don't we, and they perhaps run things differently to what the family farms do, so we need to make sure that there is a future in Southland for future generations. That's my main concern.
Alright, thank you very much for that. Lord, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You raise the about feeding crop from the top down. How do you think we should watch and monitor that? Do you have any ideas on how that would...
Thanks, Lord. Land sustainability officers, like I've spent a lot of time with Dave kind of looking over the various things what we do and having a look at it, and they can offer some good suggestions. And I think these days with the way the forecasts are, there's not very often we get caught out with a wet night that we didn't know that was coming. And I think that, you know, the 48 hours, 24 hours, let's say, leading up to that could play a huge part in it. Personally, ourselves, we have a wet day plan and a dry day plan, and it's not that difficult to shift the cows away from it when it's coming. And you're better off to do that and have a fine night than you are with a wet night. So that's just common sense, you know.
So if I pick up correctly, you're suggesting that through the winter time and in the planning process, the conversation with land sustainability helps on farm practices, is that correct?
Absolutely. without a doubt, yeah.
And could you just explain a little bit more about the third point that you raised around grandfathering? I'm just not too sure if I understand what you mean.
That 23C1, the area of land used on the land holding for intensive winter grazing has not increased beyond the area of land used averaged over the previous 3 years.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm referring to there.
Yep, high up, yes. So do you want to take that a little bit further? So you're basically saying that because of your 3 year period, you can carry on, but that still may trigger a consent.
It possibly could, but it's if you're growing 50 hectares of fodder beet, for example, and it's yielding 20 tonne, and then you're going to grow 50 hectares of chow and it's going to yield 9 tonne, let's say, it's the difference of that, isn't it? That all comes down to a difference of how much stock are going to be run on the seed area. If you decided that you were going to have, if there was a crop failure, if you decided that you got to January and decided there was a crop failure and you wanted to put in another 20 hectares of crop above the 50 so you can still winter said number of cows, is basically where I'm going with it, you know. And by the time you have to apply for a consent to be able to do it, I'm not quite sure how timely that would happen, but I would imagine you'd be wanting to put it in as soon as you realised that you had the crop failure.
So if I'm picking up what you're saying correctly, you can actually have rules and policies around winter hectare as an area, or you could have something around head of stock wintered. What you're raising is there is a variation in crops, so it's a choice of what you use. Because in January you probably use some soft turnips, but in November you'd probably use a white turnip. So there is a different approach to this, isn't it?
Exactly, yes.
So it comes down to how you actually run your farming business.
Yes, it does. It comes down to the ability to be able to make the decisions. If you think you're going to grow a 20-ton crop of fodder beet, and you get to, and you would know in January if you were going to or whether you weren't going to, you'd have a fair idea where you were going anyway, and all of a sudden you realised it was going to be considerably less and you had to put in X amount to winter your cows on, you just lose the ability to be able to do that, don't you? To make timely decisions, farming decisions.
So the point you raise is, that was raised this morning from a submitter, that if a crop failure may mean that you have to go out and readdress at a later stage, you may have to put another crop in, and you want the ability to do that to manage the property.
So my question is, do you apply for that at the start? Do you apply for the extra 20 hectares that you may or may not need at the start, or is the ability to be able to act quickly in January and make that decision, or get the answer on that decision? That's the question.
As the chairman says, we don't answer the question, but we take the point that crop failure can have a bearing on the way a farmer's run, and we take that point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm just struggling to understand the point you make about brackish water in your submission, talking about it coming from beech forest.
Right. That's not in my submission.
Oh, am I in the wrong one? Sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Apologies for that. Yeah.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm just looking to understand what you're looking for regarding Rule 23 in the saturation levels. Are you looking for something written into the rules to allow for?
I just think a little bit more thought needs to be put into it. If it's, it doesn't matter how, I think it was touched on before, it doesn't matter how wide that strip is, if it's wet, it's going to go through it. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what's in that strip, whether it be trees, grass, whatever it is, it's still going to go through it.
Yeah.
And it's about mitigating what's happening behind that strip. If you, like if you've grazed off an area that's a low-lying part of the paddock and it's, and the water is going to come through it, it doesn't really matter how big the strip is, the problem's still going to be there.
So the fixed distance, etc. Buffer zone is not answering that.
Fixed distance is not, but I think talking to a talking to a land sustainability officer and finding out a way where the baleage is placed in the paddock, where you're going to feed the supplement, how you're going to go about feeding that paddock, and I think also mob numbers play a big part in that as well, too, concentration of stock. So personally, I think 100 cows is plenty in any given mob, and less would be better, but it's just to mitigate the mess.
Difficult to write that into the rules, but you're talking about more involvement with land sustainability.
That has to be the common denominator, I think.
Thanks.
Yes, Russell. Now, what's your understanding of when you have to apply for a resource consent to continue your winter grazing operation?
My understanding? My understanding would be at that point, we would, personally myself, we would work with Lights of Land Pro and come up with a plan on what it was and what it wasn't, what we were going to do, what I wanted to do. And from then just get some professional advice on where it went and where the lie of the land was with it, yeah.
So do you think you need a resource consent for next year's winter grazing or the year after that? Or when?
My understanding is that this year, by the time the submission process has been complete, if you grew 60 hectares last year on a given block, you're allowed to do it again this year. That's my understanding from what I've been told.
Okay. If there is any uncertainty, you should contact the consents people anyway.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, thank you.
And no further questions from me. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.